Good evening, you're watching Stockwatch with me, Simon Brown, and tackling your questions in studio tonight, Ashraf Mohammed from Aquarium Capital and Mark Dutoy from Courtney Capital Private Wealth. Don't forget to send those questions through to us, SMS 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using hashtag Stockwatch. Gents, thanks for joining us. Market was top 40 up 0.5%, Resi up a bit, Indy strong, Finney down, ZAR 1390. The big story this morning was Chinese GDP, 6.2%, lowest in 27 years. Two things, 6.2, what was expected, and frankly, 6.2 for the world's second biggest economy, not bad.
Yeah, pretty good. And I think that we saw our global diversified miners rallying on the news. And I think just possibly a bit of relief that, you know, the second largest economy is still growing at quite a clip. So from our point of view, data was good.
Yeah, sure. We didn't get the second tranche of trade wars, but we've got the first one, and that's in there. And whatever pain has been felt is in that number. And it's still not a bad number.
Well, not a bad number because the PBOC made some accommodation for the industrials. But two other numbers that came out this morning from China that were interesting is industrial production ahead of consensus and retail sales 9.8%, well ahead of consensus.
Big number.
So those, consensus on retail sales was 8.2%. So those two numbers, I think, were key drivers. And, the Chinese said 5 years ago they want to shift away from a manufacturing economy to a services and consumer economy. Well, that was achieved in the retail sales numbers. The big number was the jump in vehicle sales, which was up 17.2%. And the market was expecting single digits.
Yeah. The retail sales, good news for Richemont? Or do they...
I think it is good news for Richemont, and I think we will start seeing the watch sales, etc., pick up. I think Richemont's bigger challenges remain the brands and positioning.
Yeah, and old school brands, which we might love, but the youngsters don't. Let's go to a question from Tobias. So one of the other news this morning was Anheuser-Busch InBev not doing their they were going to list a minority stake in their Asia Pacific subsidiary. That cash to pay down the debt for the very expensive pill they paid for SAB Miller. Those shareholders are still drinking champagne instead of beer. Your take on it? I mean, the question is, a couple of folks were asking me, how bad is this? Should we be worried? Is Anheuser-Busch worth a punt, or should we head for the hills?
No, so certainly I don't think it's bad news in that you need to head for the hills. I mean, it came down to the price that they wanted to list their stake at. They couldn't really get support from it in the market, which is not positive, but certainly not something to kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater. So, I mean, longer term, we still are overweight Anheuser. They do have an eye-watering debt pile, but with interest rates continuing to come down on
Fair
a worldwide
point.
Basis, I think that you could see the stock re-rate. So possibly a bit of short-term weakness, but I think longer term, the kind of the bull case is still intact.
And they could. I mean, they've got the debt. Rates are low. Money's almost free these days. And they can. They didn't like the market conditions. They can come back in a year or two.
Absolutely. And when you look at the negative interest rates around the world at the moment, they could go and issue euros against the against the European operation. Euro debt probably at 0.5%.
Yeah.
Given the country's
which is nothing.
The company's debt
for old folks like us, 0.5% is nothing.
Pretty much nothing. But then again, on 20-year German debt, you're actually paying the government to take your money.
Yeah, so, 75 points.
You know, that's where we are right now, which is why South African bond yields have been coming down over the past month.
Yeah, I was saying, remember the carry trade where you would borrow and buy SA bonds. Now you borrow in Europe and trade in the US, but then you don't have to play in that game anymore. McDonald Melisi was sending a lot of questions. I'm going to pick a couple of them. Multi-choice, one of them. There's a good argument against, but then this last weekend with a more sport. I mean, I don't know how many TVs you've got in your house, but I think most people were struggling to pick which to watch. That's their key strength. 135 price seems full to me. Your take on multi-choice?
It is pretty much a stretch, and I think One good sporting weekend doesn't make it happen.
Particularly
for you.
Soon as there, I mean, there was a South African in the Tour de France, but
well, there was. So two South Africans won on the weekend. Daryl Impey in Tour de France, and then Dylan Fratelli won the John Deere Classic last night. And then, of course, you had the British Grand Prix, Wimbledon, and Cricket World Cup. And then, of course, those who watched AFCON last night as well. So there was a lot of sport to watch on the weekend. And, you know, it was a great weekend for multi-choice. But this coming weekend, there's only, well,
I suppose
rugby.
More Tour de France.
And Tour de France.
Yeah. Rugby, yeah. Don't mention Sharks. the trick with market, they own the sport market in South Africa. If you look at the UK and you look at the US, much more splintered. Yes. That's got to be their risk. But that's down the line. You'll take it multi-choice at the current 135.
Yeah, so for us, we don't buy into the long-term case for multi-choice. I think that, I mean, it's going to continue to see huge pricing pressure. The alternatives are at such a low price point by comparative. The only thing you do get is still the sport. And there are alternatives that you can get online streaming. So I think longer term they're gonna be under pressure. The big question is gonna be, you know, can they turn the Africa business into a profit making business where currently it's still loss making. But you're not a long term hold for me.
Questions coming through around Implat being in an absolute tear. Most of the single commodities have Implat better than some. Someone on my Twitter was saying they hold it. Should they sell or continue to hold?
So we still like the kind of precious metal space. Platinum, palladium especially, and gold. So it's not for the faint-hearted, and obviously single commodity stocks, you have to watch them very closely. But I think at this point, the kind of exchange rate plus the commodity price is favorable for all our local miners, actually, just about.
And Platt?
Look, I do think that there is value. If you're a long-term holder then and you're prepared to ride the volatility, great. Otherwise, as a trader, I'd be taking money off the table right now.
Take some of that off. Toba was asking about the food producers, in particular Pioneer. We saw joint cautionaries from Pioneer and Zeta today. I'm not sure what they... there was no insight. And a lot of folks said maybe they're going to run Bundle. I'm not sure about that. Your take on Pioneer?
That's the view of our in-house analysts.
Is that your view?
Is that
okay.
There's going to be an
unbundle. So Zeta will kick out
the Pioneer.
Quite chunky Pioneer stake because of that massive discount.
Correct.
And become a specialized small agri play.
Well, you know, if Zeta focuses on agri unlisted and really pursues its opportunities in that direction, I think they'll get a better value recognition instead of having this big discount to NAV.
So the way to play Pioneer then, if you like it, is via Zeta. You're potentially going to get the shares and then you get left with the pure agri play.
Correct.
Pioneer?
So in general, we're quite negative on the food producer space. I mean, you're getting squashed from both ends. Your retailers are under pressure and your margins are being squeezed and that you're still getting the cost inflation squeezing you from the bottom. But this is a special situation. I mean, we're not sure what the caution is about. It could also be that Pioneer is going to buy a similar business like a bolt-on type acquisition. So not necessarily that they're going to unbundle. But I mean, at this point, we don't know.
It could be someone coming for Pioneer.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Sure. Cheap debt. Hey, what the heck? Buy Pioneer. Somebody from somewhere. Some questions coming through on my Twitter feed. Aspen, this is a once loved, and I think a lot of people now deeply don't love Aspen, but it has settled around the $100. They've got their milk formula business out of the way, but there's still challenges in that business.
There's a little matter of debt to EBITDA being four times, still being
that's
at four times, and that is a big number. Although I did look at some numbers on Ascendus, and Ascendus's number is higher.
Oh, yes.
Than that,
so. But that's comparing apples
it's not
with rotten
stones.
Pears.
And that remains a concern of ours as a house. If they're unable to roll over that debt, and you've got a big debt rollover in 2021 coming up, then they're going to struggle. We've just mentioned the low interest rate environment, and it may work in their favor where they despite having a debt to EBITDA ratio of 4x, debt interest coverage could actually come down because of the lower interest rate environment.
Aspen, for you?
Yeah, I think that, the story was always, they had this fantastic acquisitive growth story. Yeah. I mean, that's all out the window. They had to sell their one asset, which still had growth left in it, the infant milk formula business, to pay down debt. So it's not a stock that we currently own. I just think that it's got very little growth prospects and a huge pile of debt, and it's too risky for us.
So what about Sasol, who have debt, who have a project that they will eventually finish at cost overruns of par excellence. Mm. But Wayne McCurry would tell you that, hey, but you know what, that's all now in the history, and at some point they're going to start earning money, and at 320, I mean, is it attractive?
So I think from a valuation point of view, it is attractive. I think at the moment there's the hurricane, which is heading towards the part of the woods there in America, which is obviously people are starting to worry about that as well, possibly why the share price is under more pressure. But I think from a valuation point of view, you're getting the ethane cracker for free or at a discount even. And you know, once it's an established business, it's no longer almost a single commodity play. It's now slightly more diversified, and you should get a higher multiple for that type of business. It's just, you know, it's unfortunate that everyone seemed to build ethane crackers at a similar point in time, and there are quite a few coming on stream. So in the shorter term, earnings will be under pressure, but I think it's in the price already.
And ROI, the ROI is going to be a lot less than what they promised us. The truth is, that is unfortunate for the shareholders who have held through the period. If you're a shareholder coming in now, well, that's history.
Yeah, true. You know,
but that investment's behind you.
Yeah, but I think there's a big question now that's been raised about management's credibility. I mean, you know, it was really not a good outcome from where we started a few years back. But like you say, it's in the price. I think that the other point to make is that Sasol's quite a well-owned stock. So everyone's positioned for the bull case. Let's hope that they realize some value out of that ethane cracker.
Sasol, for you, I mean, there's going to be a hurricane, if not every year, every second or third.
Well, there will be every year. So let's put that into the price.
The shareholders have got to get used to
I do agree with you that a lot of the bad news is there, and it's now sitting at what we call a management discount.
Yeah.
Our fair value is well above these levels. Minimum upside we see is around 20 to 30%. So yes, it is cheap, but it needs a catalyst.
Yeah, something to spark it.
And we don't see anything in the near future.
No, it's a fair point. Valuations are great, but what's going to drive it is always the challenge. Time for a quick break. Keep sending through those questions. SMS 41392 or email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. Right back after this break. Welcome back. Let's take a look at how international markets are performing. Across in the US, bit of a mixed bag. The S&P down a sixth of a percent, but still above that psychological 3,000 points. NASDAQ pretty much flat, and Dow also slightly weaker, but again above the psychological 27,000 points. Across in Europe, it was a green day across the board. The FTSE out of London up a third of a percent. CAC on 40 out of France, a handful of points. And the DAX in Frankfurt leading the way up almost a half a percent. Still with me in studio, Ashraf Mohammed, Mark Dutoy. Jess, let's get to some more of the questions. Exxaro, now there's a stock I haven't given thought to, I have to be honest, in a long time. Coal miner, had the mineral sands, that's now gone.
There's still a stake to sell,
Tronox, your take on Exxaro. This is once plus 200 Rand share.
Look, I mean, the management team actually have done a great job in unlocking value. I think that for us, I mean, we like the resource sector, but we prefer to be in the more diversified businesses. The outlook for coal is probably less rosy because of the world's view on the environmental impact of coal and all these emission levies that are coming in. So for me, I'd rather be in the diversified miners than in Exxaro.
Fair point. Exxaro?
Yeah, look, having heard what Mark said, I think Exxaro still has upside. It's trading on a single-digit PE, although barely. And I do see upside in the coal price. You heard the Australian, I think it was the economics or the mining minister saying they're going to allow more mining rights on coal in Australia. That tells you how they see demand factors for that particular mineral. And so I definitely see further upside for Exxaro.
Another question that came through from McDonald, and we mentioned food producers. We were down the Pioneer route. Is Tiger Brands more attractive to you? They've got the Listerosis case, but that's they've got insurance, and they can certainly afford it. There's brand images there, but Tiger Brands, share price been under massive pressure.
Yeah, I think. So I mean, there's a big debate now as to what a consumer is willing to pay for a brand, and our consumer. Is the consumer behavior changing slightly in that, you know, in this day, you're probably not as willing to pay extra for a brand because you know that the private label stuff is
ginger
just
biscuit.
As good.
It's a ginger biscuit.
So so I think that, you know, Tiger Brands long term, the premium that they trade at has been reduced, and like I said, the food kind of producer stocks is not something that we're particularly excited about in this. Current South African economy of very low growth.
Warren Buffett in his annual letter said, yes, the sort of power struggle between the retailer and the branded goods, and it swings, and right now it's with the retailer and against the branded goods, and it will swing back. Does it?
Well, I actually think that branded goods have become less relevant. I think that Generation Z, as they call them, less inclined to focus on brand, rather focus on what they get. So whether it's No Name or it's Heinz, I don't think it really matters.
They like
matters.
The biscuit or the baked beans.
Correct.
And, eat them.
And that's what it is. So I think it will become far less relevant. I think AVI is a better operator on the food producer side than Tiger Brand. So if I had to buy a food producer, I'd go with AVI rather than Tiger Brands.
And it's a fair point about the generations. You know, my grandmother, when I say ginger biscuits are ginger biscuits, she would have slapped me around the ears for that because they were, I don't know, the right ones. But the truth is these days, if it tastes good, you don't need the brand to it. That brand stickiness is not what it used to be. Another single commodity miner, this time Kumba, again, the viewer is holding it. And the question is, it's been a spectacular run. Iron ore, north of 120. At some point, Vale comes back online and that will see the price back. Yeah. Would you be a holder or a seller of Kumba at these levels?
So I think that from a valuation point of view, we would sell our Kumba stake. We currently don't have. Like you said, I mean, the iron ore price has been spectacular this year. It's trading over $100. And it's mainly because of supply shocks. And you're right, I mean, the supply probably is going to increase and the iron ore price stabilise. But having said that, I mean, Kumba's throwing off heaps of cash at this point. And I think if you want to be in that space, you're probably going to buy Anglo American. That's our.
I was going to say, you go back to the diversified,
that's our preferred place in the resources.
Kumba?
Yeah. We think it's way too expensive. And you mentioned Vale coming. Vale's actually started coming online and iron ore shipments out of Brazil have gone up.
They started happening.
So that's already started happening, but there's a shortage in China in terms of stock holding. So when that gap closes, and it could happen in the next 6 to 8 weeks, then we could see a turnaround.
Yeah, I mean, iron ore, $60, $70, maybe $80 is a more reasonable price. $100, $120, that's 07 pricing.
Absolutely, and I think we will get back to around $70 to $80 in the next 6 to 8 months, because also Chinese demand is not really there for infrastructure spend. They've moved on.
Yeah, to your point of earlier.
To what I said earlier, and that concerns me. India, where one expects the next growth phase to happen globally, is struggling with the zombie banks. So they're not going to get the money for infrastructure spent just yet.
And they don't have a People's Bank of China. Ashraf, one of your stock picks is a property stock, but the question came from David, and he was particularly Growth Point, Redefine, Investec. Would any of them pop up, or would you rather say wait for the end of the show?
So So we put out a note about 3 weeks ago on the property sector, saying that we're starting to find the sector more attractive, hasn't been at these relative yields to the 10-year bond for 6-7 years. And we looked at Redefine, which we thought was quite cheap. Growthpoint, not as attractive on that basis. And Investec, it's okay. It's diversified. Okay. It's a good play. But we, one of my stock picks, and I think there are far more opportunities, South African-focused opportunities, that will give you a low-risk yield. One of the one that Mark and I often discuss, but is fairly liquid, is Delta Property Fund. I think
so. That was
they're getting rid of the mess.
Last one. I mean, that was a. I first saw it at R6 with NAV at 10, and then it went to under 2. But you know, that got challenges. But my sense is they're fixing it up. They're tenanting mostly with government and sovereigns, but that seems to be coming back a bit.
That is going to start recovering. I think their base is pretty set. Where they are now is that's bottom of the cycle earnings for the next 5 years. And I think you're just going to get growth, but you're not going to get spectacular growth. You'll get 3%, 5%, etc. They have filled up some empty spaces post-results, which they showed in their presentation. So that's definitely a stock. I know it was a stock pick a while back of mine, and I still think it's a fairly good business.
Growthpoint, Redefine, Investec Property, Delta, any of them stand out? None of them?
Well, yeah, I mean, in the property space, I mean, we like Vukile. Mm-hmm. So Lawrence Rapp's still doing deals. Looks like he's going to get the Rebosa shopping centers at a nice price. And also has a diversification, the business in Spain. So for us in the property space, we like that, and possibly Attack as well.
Attack as well. What about EOH? Another one of those. It sort of fits into the Aspen. Once Darling, now anything but Darling. It's recovered. They've got their forensic report. It'll be out in the next couple of weeks, and then results, and we'll start to see. Is there opportunity here, or do we wait?
I think you can probably wait. I do think that, I mean, it's got a very credible management team in place now. It has a stronger shareholder block now. We've seen the end to all the forced selling. So I think that it probably doesn't go down from here, but I'm not sure what the medium-term kind of catalyst or outlook is going to be. So I think you can probably wait a bit.
Yeah, that trigger which I was talking about. EOH for yourself?
No, not yet.
Not yet, not even close. What about City Lodge? A stock I intuitively like. I like the leverage model of it, et cetera, but obviously the bed nights, the occupancies is what matters in these businesses. A bit of Africa expansion, your take on City Lodge?
You know, we often speak about the impact of Airbnb, et cetera, on foreign hotel groups, but I think that's had an impact on City Lodge in South Africa, and I think that boutique hotels, if I could use that broad term, or has also taken a lot of market share away from the likes of City Lodge. People prefer to go somewhere where they're comfortable, and I know the City Lodge advert says, be at home.
Yeah, but have you seen, with respect, there's homes and there's homes.
But I think you prefer something where there are only 20 guests, etc., but you're paying more or less the same price that you would at a City Lodge, and the breakfast is a lot better.
Yeah, look, and the road lodges are about the size of this desk, and that includes the bathroom. City Lodge, before we go to stock picks?
I think, you really want to see the economy starting to open up. They do quite a bit of business travel, so I think you can wait at least a year.
Yeah, they do apparently pick up something from the election, but we need a more sustained story going through. Okay, let's go to some stock picks. You've been talking about diversified. I've been wanting to say which diversified. African Rainbow Minerals.
Yeah, so last week I picked Anglo American, this week African Rainbow Minerals. So we like the fact that we've seen a lot of supply come out of the commodity space over the last 10 years. And we're still not in that moment where new mines are being put down and there's kind of the supply starting to build up again. So I think at this point, these companies are going to be throwing off a lot of free cash flow. And African Mangrove Minerals is also still in a single-digit multiple, and it's a diversified miner, so you get a bit more protection from the fact that it doesn't have one earning stream.
And their balance sheets, and this is across the sector, is probably stronger than they have been
for a long time.
I wanted to say almost forever, yeah. But I mean, my fear is they start spending money, but at this point they're not.
Well, that's the point. So I mean, so we think that the current management are going to return the cash to shareholders. And until such time as the shareholders start saying, hey, why aren't you starting to do more exploration and new mines? And that's probably the time to look for the door.
Yeah. Or the big merger like when Rio Tinto and, yes. And that, yes. Ashraf, you said you like property, you like Redefine, you like the Delta. Your stock pick this evening, Fortress Bees.
Yeah, so I think there's been a lot of cleaning up going on within that group. You've got an entirely new management team. Mark Stevens, one of the old guard, is now officially stepped down. We've got a 13% forward dividend yield on this, which is very attractive. And as I said to you off air, you're now getting paid to take the risk. And I like shares that pay you to take risk. And for this one, you've had NAV write downs. You've taken all of those things into the share price. So from here on out, I only see upside. It may take a while. Again, you're waiting for a catalyst. You're waiting for the market to say these earnings are clean, we're comfortable, and then you'll start seeing the buying. But very good management team in place now, and I think the quality of earnings will demonstrate that.
And with a good yield, frankly, you don't mind waiting a bit. That's the beauty of yield. You've got time on your side. We'll leave it there. My thanks to our guests, Ashraf Mohammed from Acorn Capital. He's going with Fortress B. And we've got Mark Dutoy from Courtney Capital Private Wealth going with African Rainbow Minerals. More of your stock-related questions tomorrow. Until then, have a good evening. Okay, let's go to some stock picks. You've been talking about diversified. I've been wanting to say which diversified. African Rainbow Minerals.
Yeah, so last week I picked Anglo American, this week African Rainbow Minerals. So we like the fact that we've seen a lot of supply come out of the commodity space over the last 10 years. And we're still not in that moment where new mines are being put down and there's kind of the supply starting to build up again. So I think at this point, these companies are going to be throwing off a lot of free cash flow. And African Mangrove Minerals is also still in a single-digit multiple, and it's a diversified miner, so you get a bit more protection from the fact that it doesn't have one earning stream.
And their balance sheets, and this is across the sector, is probably stronger than they have been
for a long time.
I wanted to say almost forever, yeah. But I mean, my fear is they start spending money, but at this point they're not.
Well, that's the point. So I mean, so we think that the current management are going to return the cash to shareholders, and until such time as the shareholders start saying, hey, why aren't you starting to do more exploration and new mines? And that's probably the time to look for the door.
Yeah. Or the big merger like when Rio Tinto and, yes. And that, yes. Ashraf, you said you like property, you like Redefine, you like the Delta. Your stock pick this evening, Fortress Bees.
Yeah, so I think there's been a lot of cleaning up going on within that group. You've got an entirely new management team. Mark Stevens, one of the old guard, has now officially stepped down. We've got a 13% forward dividend yield on this, which is very attractive. And as I said to you off air, you're now getting paid to take the risk. And I like shares that pay you to take risk. And for this one, you've had NAV write downs. You've taken all of those things into the share price. So from here on out, I only see upside. It may take a while. Again, you're waiting for a catalyst. You're waiting for the market to say these earnings are clean, we're comfortable, and then you'll start seeing the buying. But very good management team in place now, And I think the quality of earnings will demonstrate that.
And with a good yield, frankly, you don't mind waiting a bit. That's the beauty of yield. You've got time on your side. We'll leave it there. My thanks to our guests, Ashraf Mohammed from Acumen Capital. He's going with Fortress B. And we've got Mark Dutoy from Courtney Capital Private Wealth going with African Rainbow Minerals. More of your stock-related questions tomorrow. Until then, have a good evening.